been a year since Governor Andrew Cuomo announced plans to overhaul the use of solitary confinement in state prisons, but that promise has yet to materialize into actual changes, according to the front page Sunday story in the Albany Times-Union by Dan Clark, who's also the host of the weekly PBS show New York Now. His reporting highlights how a plan was formalized in August, but has been sidetracked by multiple obstacles. Dan joins us now to discuss the issue. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Anytime. Thank you.
So take us back a year with your DeLorean. What led the governor to announce he would use his administration's regulatory powers to change how and when solitary confinement was used?
So last year, momentum was gaining on the HALT bill, Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act.
HALT's easier.
I know. It's a bill that would basically restrict solitary confinement in state prisons dramatically. Caps on the amount of time, certain mental health benefits, certain people wouldn't be allowed to be put in solitary confinement. So Democrats were preparing to pass the bill, and they had enough votes in both chambers. And then the governor came out randomly and said, this is going to cost too much, so let's not do this, please. He met with the legislative leaders, and they all agreed, instead of passing the bill, that he would just use his administrative powers through DOCS, the agency that controls state prisons, and enact some of the same reforms instead of doing it in the HALT Act to make it a little bit cheaper.
You say randomly. Do you think it was random, or do you think he was motivated by the gathering steam in the legislature?
I think he was motivated by the steam, but it certainly wasn't a discussion that was public within anybody. I mean, the bill was gaining votes, but it wasn't the top issue for anybody at the time, I don't think. It wasn't on anybody's radar. I think at the time, I was the only reporter that was covering it.
And you were with the New York Law Journal then, so did you have a specific interest in it at the time?
I did. I will be honest with you. The Law Journal was not too interested in the issue. The audience wasn't too interested in the issue. And that's kind of the thing with solitary, is that people just don't care about it because they don't have to deal with it. It's very unlikely that if you are reading the news that you have a personal experience with solitary confinement. And it's also unlikely that you know somebody who has had an experience with solitary confinement. So for a lot of people, they just don't understand the issue and it doesn't matter to them. So they don't pay attention.
And you've talked to people who have been in solitary, right? What do they tell you about the experience?
Well, most of the people I will say that I've talked to have been people that were pushing the HALT Act. Mm-hmm. So they have their own view of solitary.
Right.
But everybody that I have spoken to has said that it depends on the prison you're in, how you're treated. You're supposed to get 1 hour of out-of-cell time every day in the state's current solitary confinement laws. Some will say that that doesn't always happen. It depends on the CO that is watching over you. Of course, NYSCOBA, the Correction Officers Union, disputes that. So a lot of people will tell you that their mental health really suffered while they were in solitary. And it's no surprise. I mean, if you're in a cell by yourself for 23 hours a day with almost nothing to do, how is that going to affect you in the long term? I mean, I don't know about you, but it would certainly take me through a loop.
I'm having a tough enough time just being in quarantine.
I know.
So you talked about the perspective from the supporters of HALT. What about the corrections officers? How do they view this issue? And I mean, they don't even like describing it as solitary confinement, right?
Right, they don't. And that's because in the grand scope of things, when you look at how people are treated in solitary confinement in New York versus other countries around the world, we really have it pretty good. I mean, you're kept in a cell by yourself, but you're fed, you're checked up on, you know, in theory. In other countries, even in other states, people don't get that kind of treatment. We also have access to mental health services in solitary confinement, the same kind of rehabilitative services that are available outside of solitary. So that's why NYSCOBA, the correction officers, don't like to call it solitary confinement, because yes, you are segregated from everybody else during this time, but you also have services available to you. And the opponents will say, NYSCOBA will say, well, solitary is primarily used to separate people from the general population when they've done something that is wrong, could harm somebody or harm somebody else. So to have this environment where people are pushing back on that option for them is not great from their perspective.
So what did the overhaul planned by the governor consist of?
It was a bunch of regulations. It didn't go as far as HALT. So I think the major one that people really hooked onto was it put the first ever cap on the amount of time that somebody could spend in solitary confinement. It would be at 30 days once it was formally phased in, which I think was supposed to be 2022. Mm-hmm. Obviously, since the regulations haven't been enacted, we don't know when that would be. So right now, there's no cap on solitary confinement. You could stay in there for years if the person decided you had to be. This will put you in for 30 days, but advocates will tell you that once day 31 comes and you're brought out, a correction officer could send you right back in. There's nothing preventing that. There's also a bunch of other reforms included in it, a lot of populations wouldn't be allowed to be in solitary, like pregnant women wouldn't be allowed to be sent to solitary. People suffering with mental health issues would go to specific units mm-hmm. that are designed to deal with that. And you would only be able to be sent to solitary if you committed a really harsh misconduct. You would have to have a reason to send somebody there, whereas right now you don't really have that that factor-based system to send somebody to solitary.
So the state put out regulations in draft form in August. Why haven't they been implemented yet?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you, for the past 6 months, I haven't really gotten a clear answer until recently. And that answer kind of conflicted with the answer I got earlier this year. So I wrote about this in March as well. Mm-hmm. In March, the answer was that they were still considering public comment, which public comment is supposed to be 60 days. It was 60 days. So their excuse was that they hadn't gone through all of that. They hadn't finalized it based on the public comment. Their excuse now is that during the state budget, a new part of the Raise the Age law was passed, which transfers adolescent offenders from DOCS, the prison agency, to OCFS, the Office of Children and Family Services. And that's because that's just how lawmakers wanted it. They didn't want these children to be placed in state prisons with adult offenders. So now DOCS is saying that they can't finalize the solitary regulations because now they have to reamend them and rewrite them to reflect that these children are no longer going to be in their custody.
Have they indicated why they're not pursuing the parallel path of an emergency regulation, which could take effect immediately while they also pursue this traditional path? I mean, when they came up with the idea of banning flavored smokeless tobacco products, this was an emergency and we have to do it. But apparently when it comes to, you know, people's lives in prison, it doesn't warrant an emergency, I guess?
No. I mean, they haven't thought of any emergency regulations that I know of. Mm-hmm. And I just saw the latest register. There's not something new in there for solitary. This just, you know, it doesn't seem like it's a priority for DOCS or the Cuomo administration right now. It's not at the top of their list. Obviously, with the coronavirus, they've had a lot to deal with, both in state prisons and out of state prisons. DOCS has had to manage the pandemic within state prisons, where if it got in there, obviously it could spread like wildfire in the population. So I think it's a case of bad timing right now, where it's just not their focus. But certainly it's been more than a year since they were announced, the regulations were announced. It's been nearly a year now since the regulations were formally proposed. Mm-hmm. They are taking quite a while.
And you talked about some of the things they're thinking about implementing with regards to like a 30-day cap, and you talked about the wiggle room to get around that. It seems if this was done with a law, those sorts of wiggle room could be written out of existence. Is that why the governor is sort of opposed to having his hands tied like that?
So the governor's opposition was primarily the cost publicly.
And there was a disagreement on that, right?
There is a disagreement on that. The governor says it would cost $350 million from the state and then another $1 billion to localities. Luis Sepulveda from the state Senate mm-hmm. says he's the sponsor of the HALT Act. He says that it wouldn't be nearly that amount. He knows that it's going to cost money, but in his view, the money is worth the price that they would have to pay for keeping these prisoners, their mental health, their sanity, you know, up to par while they're serving their sentence.
And what are the costs coming from? Is it retooling the existing confinement spaces or something else?
It's a lot of things. So think of solitary confinement right now. In a lot of prisons where you have a SHU cell, a solitary housing unit, mm-hmm. It's really just a room with a door and usually like a little window for the door and something to bring your food in and a bed. So that's all you have right now. Under the new regulations, these rooms would kind of be made a little bit more comfortable. They have to create more units as well, RRUs, rehabilitative units of some sort, to really rehabilitate people while they're in solitary. And then they also have to create these things called step-down units, which would be used to transition from somebody from solitary back to the general population. So you have this kind of middle ground where that person is no longer by themselves. They get more treatment, more services. And the idea is to get them rehabilitated and then go back to the general population without that threat that they're going to cause danger to themselves or others.
What do lawmakers who were pushing the legislative overhaul, like Senator Luis Sepulveda, think about the deal that was struck a year later? And what are their thoughts on the lack of implementation?
So they're not happy about it, obviously. The lack of implementation, I should say. They're not happy about it. It's been a year. They were promised that this was going to go into effect as soon as humanly possible. And I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. As far as the regulations themselves, they're not happy about them. I mean, they're happy that something was theoretically done or will be done. But a again, steam is gaining right now for the HALT Act again this year. More people are signing on to it. And I should say it is sponsored in both the Senate and the Assembly by a majority of lawmakers in both chambers, meaning that if it went to the floor today, assuming that none of the sponsors voted against their own bill, it would pass. The danger being that all of them are concerned that the governor would veto the bill. And the problem in the Senate is that they don't have a veto-proof majority right now. So if it went to the governor, it would be vetoed and just off the table altogether.
So based on the number of co-sponsors, does that mean that it's the leadership in the chambers that are blocking this from coming up for a vote?
Yeah, but I don't think that that is an unwise thing. Mm-hmm. I think that it is probably smarter to negotiate something with the governor that he's actually going to sign rather than just pass something and try to force his hand. Because if there's something that we know about this governor is that he does not respond well to pressure from people who he thinks that he has power over.
Well, he sort of called people, he tried to call the legislature's bluff in 2019 when it came to housing and tenant legislation, and they ended up just drafting bills and sending it to him. So you don't think the same thing could happen here, or you think he would pull out the veto pen?
I think he would veto it for sure, especially since last year he already threatened to veto it. And this year with the state in its financial crisis from mm-hmm. COVID, I think that he would have even more reason to justify vetoing it.
What about a version of the bill that wouldn't include maybe all the cost elements, but could begin to include things like restrictions on who gets put into solitary confinement and how long it's used for? Has there been any talk about a pared down version of the bill?
There has not, and I don't think there will be. I think that Democrats will stick with this until they can get into the negotiating room with the governor.
Mm-hmm. And we had primaries recently where we saw some far left members win seats, likely in the Assembly. Do you think that's going to change the tenor of this debate in 2021? Do you think there'll be less concern about what the governor will do and more about putting him on blast?
Maybe at first. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what happened in 2019 as well, when we had several lawmakers get into the chamber like Alessandro Biaggi. They thought that they were going to come in and force the governor's hand. They thought that they had all these priorities, but then the governor really showed them that he's the guy in charge as far as what happens in state government.
Well, the guy in charge when it comes to New York Now is Dan Clark, who's been joining us. Thank you, Dan, so much for making the time. We really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.